Hello, you're listening to Gaze Gaze, in which we're gay, and we gaze into media that's by, for, or about ladies who love ladies, and sometimes we talk about other stuff. I'm Aaron, and he's very eloquent, but I have no idea what he's telling me.
And I'm Aaron, and what's happening is blasphemy.
Oh, yeah, baby, because this episode is Benedetta. Woo!
Benedetta.
Benedetta. Is that how you say it?
I don't know. Wait, how many Italian listeners do we
Oh, I don't know. We've said it before and we'll say it again. This is not the podcast to come to for people who can pronounce things. Uh-oh.
Benedetta, not Bayonetta, as I accidentally said at the end of the last episode. Which I still think we should play Bayonetta sometime. Aaron, I don't know how much you know about Bayonetta, but they are lesbians.
Yeah, I've played through part of Bayonetta, but we were playing on a hard difficulty, and I think my girlfriend got so frustrated with how bad I was at the video game that we stopped.
Oh my god, you have to play it on easy.
I know! That's
Bayonetta, she was a nun. This is why we're getting them confused.
Yeah!
She was a witch who, like, was undercover as a nun in a convent because she was fighting the angels, obviously. Because like heaven is bad and angels are evil, blah, blah, blah. But she had this, like, witch childhood friend Jean, who has short white hair, and I can't remember why they became rivals for some reason.
Yeah,
but they were like still in love with one another, and right. So they like reconvene in Bayonetta 2 and they like go shopping together and do girl things.
And that's where the image comes from, where it's like your two rich aunts with double income show up for Christmas and it's Bayonetta and Jean. I love them. So Benedetta is a nun who fights angels, and this is a video game that we played for this episode.
Someday. Someday I'll bring you back in for Bayonetta.
Hell yeah.
Benedetta, however, is yet another biopic by Paul Verhoeven that came out last year, 2021, that is about Benedetta Carlini, who is a 17th century nun in Italy during the resurgence of the plague. Mm-hmm. And she had a relationship with another nun. How that played out in real life is different than how it is depicted in the film, obviously. We will get into all of that. Not so easy to make a super accurate biopic about something that happened 3 centuries ago, 4 mm-hmm. centuries ago. So I was the one who suggested that we watch this. Mm-hmm. Because I found out about it, and I thought it looked campy. Campy as all hell, and that's why I wanted to watch it. Also, you and I have talked, I feel like, so much about lesbian nuns in our lives.
Yeah, it's a subject close to my heart.
Yeah. I was trying to think about what episodes we had talked about lesbian nuns in, other than Maria Watches Over Us, because I know we did then, because Catholic girls in Catholic school.
Right? There was definitely another episode, though. Or maybe it was just all in that one. I don't know. It's something that I think about.
Yeah, you're thinking about it often.
Thinking about like women who are like, I want to get married to Jesus so I don't have to marry anybody else and live with a bunch of women.
I didn't know. Kind of gay. I didn't know that nuns were considered the wives of Jesus.
I don't know if they are.
I guess like Jude was looking it up, and that used to be a more common mentality than it is now. Oh. Nowadays, it's not so common, but like way back in Benedetta's era.
Yeah. Interesting. I know that I've heard nuns more recently referred to as like the wives of God, but kind of in a more, you know, not a very literal way.
Yeah. First of all, let me give some content warnings of things that we will be talking about and things that will come up if you watch the movie, if you haven't already, and then we can get into what the movie is about, and then we can talk a little bit more about Benedetta herself in real life.
Yeah.
So first of all, big content warning for sexual torture if you watch this film.
It is rough.
Yeah.
It's a bad scene.
Yeah. As well as mentions of sexual abuse and incest, depictions of suicide, and death due to the plague are also pretty common. I think that's pretty much it. There's some gore with stigmata.
Yeah, yeah. There's a fair amount of blood. But yeah, I would think that's about it.
Benedetta is set in the 1600s in Italy. and it is just before the spread of the bubonic plague begins again. So the plague initially was in like the Dark Ages in the medieval times in like the 1300s. But then there was another resurgence because they hadn't exactly figured out what was causing the plague and how to prevent it yet.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I think it was this outburst of the plague was called like the Italian plague.
So it's just before the plague, and Benedetta is this young girl whose parents pay for her to enter a convent in the town of Pescia in Italy when she's a child. And this is because, was it because there was some sort of family crisis that prompted her father to see God?
I think it was, yeah, it was, oh, it was her mother had like a really difficult labor.
That's what I thought it was. And he
said, yeah, if both of my wife and my child survive, I will give my child to God.
Yeah. And they both did. And so now it's time to enroll Benedetta in the convent, basically.
Yo.
And she lived there for many years. And one day when she was a little bit older, in like her early 20s, a young woman burst into the convent and she was being chased by a man who she said was trying to kill her. Benedetta's parents just so happened to be on site that day because Benedetta was giving a performance, like a stage play about Jesus.
Yeah.
And they had come to see her. And Benedetta asked her parents to pay this young woman's entrance fee so that she could also become a nun and avoid murder literally on the spot.
Yeah.
So they do it. And this young woman, who her name is Bartolomea, she reveals that the man that she was running away from was actually her father, who had been sexually abusing her ever since her mother died. And she had finally like fought back and tried to run away. And that's when he said that he was going to kill her. And Bartolomea said that she was very grateful to Benedetta for helping to save her life. And the two of them head to bed, and Bartolomea steals a kiss from Bayonetta and from Benedetta in the hallway. I swear to God. I was not having this problem until literally we sat down to record. What is happening?
It's fine. The scene prior to her stealing a kiss and also her like telling her what like brought her to this nunnery was they were taking a shit together.
They were literally pooping together in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
Bonding,
you know?
So shortly after Bartolomea enters the convent, Benedetta begins seeing these visions of Jesus. Like we said, nuns are described as the wives of Jesus, and the Jesus that's in her visions like repeatedly refers to himself as her husband, and he saves her from rogues, he like romances her, and eventually a nude transgender crucified Jesus asks her to join him on the cross, pressing her hands up against like the nails, and she wakes up with stigmata, so her feet and hands are bleeding. Mm-hmm. And the other nuns treat it as a miracle that Jesus speaks through Benedetta. However, the mother nun at the convent is not convinced, especially because Benedetta doesn't have the crown of thorns that is normally associated with the stigmata, where your forehead begins to bleed. And immediately after she notes this, Benedetta is then found in the hallway with a bleeding forehead and a piece of broken glass nearby.
Yeah.
And so the mother and her biological daughter, who is also a nun at the convent because they both joined the convent like when they were older.
Yeah.
They see the broken glass and they find it to be very suspicious.
Very suspicious. But they didn't see her cut herself.
No, but they're definitely, they're questioning it. Also, there's the fact that it happened in her sleep, and apparently everybody else who has gotten the stigmata has gotten it while awake. So,
oh yeah, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. After this happens, Bartolomea is assigned to watch Benedetta to make sure that she is okay. And it's at this point that the two of them begin to have a sexual relationship. Benedetta's visions of Jesus continue, and she is named the new mother of the convent, and the former mother is ousted from her role. Benedetta is granted this giant room to share with Bartolomea, which gives them lots of privacy to have sex for hours a day.
I know.
Meanwhile, the former mother's daughter confesses to the priest that she saw the broken glass, and she believes that Benedetta is faking her visions. The former mother also carves a peephole in the wall of the bedroom that Benedetta's in now, and she sees Benedetta and Bartolomea having sex with a Mother Mary statue that has been carved into a dildo.
Yep.
So there's that.
Oh, God.
The priest, after the confession, publicly shames the former mother's daughter for distrusting Benedetta and has her self-flagellate or whip herself. And later after that, she jumps from the top of the building in shame or in distrust of the system, and she dies. It's at this point that the former mother leaves to contact the nuncio, who I believe is like a confidential hired person to judge the sanctity of a Catholic institution.
I think so.
He's like a contracted evaluator, basically.
I think it's an appointed position too.
I don't know exactly the role of the nuncio. She leaves to contact him and tell him everything that she's seen and what's going on and how she has all these suspicions. And meanwhile, Benedetta warns the town that the plague is coming because she's seen it in a vision and that many people will die. And then she herself drops dead. Just like randomly, right? She just dies.
She dies.
And the mother and nuncio return to Pescia. It's at this point that the town is shut down because Benedetta had the vision that the plague was coming, and so that they shut down the town and closed the borders so that nobody could come or leave. The nuncio shows up, and he has literally signs of the plague. But he enters the town anyway, despite the closed borders. And when he arrives inside the convent, Benedetta is in her casket and she rises from the dead, just like Jesus did.
Yeah.
And when she does this, she shares that she saw many people in heaven and that all of them will die from the plague, blah, blah, blah. But shortly after this happens, Benedetta is tried for sapphism for having lesbian sex and inside the convent. Because the nuncio obviously was told by the former mother. And weirdly, Benedetta is not the one that's questioned in the trial. Bartolomea is the one that's questioned. And she does not confess to having sex with Benedetta, though she ultimately is tortured into confessing.
Yeah.
And while Bartolomea is being tortured, Benedetta meets with a former mother who reveals that she also has the plague and she caught it from the nuncio. And she is mad at him about that. And they make an agreement, but we don't get to see what the agreement is yet.
Yeah.
The nuncio moves to burn Benedetta at the stake to great displeasure from the town, who fucking love Benedetta. They love her. They don't want to see her get burned. So they try to stop all the proceedings. And this is ultimately bolstered when the former mother reveals that the nuncio gave her the plague publicly to the entire town. She's like, the nuncio gave me the plague. And he is the one who has brought the plague upon this town. Benedetta was right. We should have kept the gates closed. And the angry mob attacks him. And the women of the town and Bartolomea work together to free Benedetta right before she would have erupted into flames and died at the stake. Meanwhile, the former mother willingly walks into the fire and self-immolates, which saves the town from further spread of the plague. The film ends as Benedetta and Bartolomea are living in this barn outside of town because they've been exiled after the trial. Benedetta decides to go back into town to try to beg for forgiveness because she wants to continue living as a nun. And Bartolomea really questions that decision, and she stays behind. After the film ends, it's revealed that Benedetta returned and was accepted back, but she had very low status in the convent, and that her town was never struck by the plague. However, that does differ a little bit in real life.
Yeah.
As most of this film does.
Just a little bit.
But yeah, that's the gist.
Man.
It's very campy.
It's very campy. Within the first like 10 minutes or something, she gets one of these visions of Jesus. It's pretty fun. I liked when Jesus would show up.
Yeah. Oh my God. Jesus showing up is very fun. I feel like there's just so many wild absurdities that I never could have predicted in this movie. Like in the first like 10 or 15 minutes, a statue of Mother Mary falls on baby Benedetta. Like when she's like, I say baby, when she's like 10.
Yeah.
And she kisses the nipple of the statue that has fallen on top of her. It's like, what is going on here?
Oh,
like,
my God, it's so good. That reminds me that the opening of the movie is her parents are taking her to this convent, and they are attacked on the way by bandits, and the bandits steal her mom's necklace, and she's like, give my mom back the necklace, or else, like, the Virgin Mary will punish you. And then a bird comes and poops on one of the guy's heads, and they're like, oh, shit, you're right. Here, you can have your necklace back. It's like, Kind of like an everybody clapped moment. It's really good.
It really is. You're right. That's exactly what it was. It was like, these bandits have so much respect for this child just right? because she made a funny joke, basically.
Yeah.
And they were like, here you go.
So the scene where the Virgin Mary falls on her and then she like kisses the nipple, it's like her first night at the convent, and she's like, she got her little wooden Virgin Mary statue taken away from her, and she goes downstairs to the Virgin Mary statue, which is pretty big, and she's like, Virgin Mary, you're my mother now. And then one of the bricks comes out of the wall where the Virgin Mary's kept, and the Virgin Mary statue falls on her, and then her mouth, her like boob is like right where Bernadetta's mouth is, and I kind of thought that she was like suckling,
yes,
more so than kissing, but
it's very strange.
It's very weird.
The statue fell in real life.
Did it really?
Yes.
Wow. And yeah, and then the nuns who come and save her, like, it's a miracle that you weren't crushed.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if the statue fell on her, but it really did fall, like, her first night, and they were like, wow, that's really strange.
Wow, that is really strange.
Yeah, something's up with that Benedetta. She just entered the convent and...
Yeah.
Talking about other absurdities, though, transitioning from that into, like, the trauma bonding while taking a poop moment.
Yeah.
Telling you all of my deepest traumas while we are sitting on the toilets together. We're
sitting on the toilet together. And then, oh my god, the Benedetta's like, you're really beautiful. And Bartolome's like, I don't know. I'd never had a mirror. And so Benedetta's like, look into my eyes to see your reflection, to see how beautiful you are. And so then they like get really close and are like looking in each other's eyes.
So silly.
This is so silly and gay.
Then, okay. Again, talking about just absurdities, the fact that they carve the Mother Mary into the dildo, you can see it coming from a mile away. You know it's going to happen. But it's just like, wow, they really went there.
I know. She loved her Mother Mary statue.
Also, like, transgender Jesus took my breath away.
I was so excited when that happened. It was incredible. Like, both me, I watched this with my partner, and both of us were like, oh my god, trans Jesus. It is absolutely incredible.
For the life of me, I wish I could remember it now. I watched this film with a few friends and my partner, including Sammy, who is going to be on our next episode. Very excited for that still.
Mm-hmm.
And Sammy, at some point, made a joke about Benedetta being transgender. And I was like, they wouldn't put a transgender person in this movie. This is like the 16th century. This is Paul Verhoeven. He's not going to go there. And then transgender Jesus came on screen. And I was like, I've been proven so dastardly wrong.
It's a miracle. Holy shit.
I was wrong. And I'm glad that they went there.
I'm glad that they went there too. Another favorite moment is that Benedetta, Jesus takes her heart and then replaces it with his heart, which is like much bigger than a normal heart. She's like, Bartolome, my heart is so big now. I need you to come and feel my chest so you can see how big my heart is, which is... like, just the best. Like, and then Bartolome is like, cheesy, obviously, just like feeling her up. Like, oh yeah, I feel it. So big.
Their relationship in this film is so odd.
It is. Yeah, a lot of the like, initially, a lot of the sexual stuff is like Bartolome's ideas, because Benedetta's lived in a convent her whole life. And so, like, Bartolome, like, is like, this is how you kiss and stuff. But yeah, it's something. It's weird.
Have you seen any of Verhoeven's other films?
I've seen RoboCop, and I've seen Total Recall. That's a fun movie.
I was just going to say, I've only seen Total Recall, but I haven't seen it in full, because the context that I saw it was that it was on the Sci-Fi channel, and I was just like flipping through cable, and I was like, what the hell is this? And then I started watching it, and I couldn't turn it off. I like watched it till the end. It was like, there's something about Total Recall that is just like gripping like that. It's so strange.
It's a good movie. Also, I don't know any... He also directed Showgirls, and I don't know anything about Showgirls except that it's really bad.
That's what I've heard. And Jude was telling me that movie also potentially has lesbians in it, which is funny because... Because here's the other thing about Paul Verhoeven is that he made Basic Instinct, which we talked about in our Bound episode, because it came out at the same time as Bound. It's also like a mafia heist movie, I believe, but it's one that like really, really vilifies bisexual women. And so it was actively protested by queer groups at the time that it came out for being bad representation of queer people in media. Like while they were filming it, it was being protested. And ultimately it very much like outsold Bound when the two movies came out, so now it's a more iconic film than Bound is, even though Bound is reportedly the better movie. I haven't seen Basic Instinct, but I believe it because Bound is a great is a great film.
Bound is so good. It would be hard, even if it wasn't like potentially a bad depiction of bisexuals, like it would be hard to beat Bound.
Yeah, I agree. So there's also that. But yeah, reportedly Showgirls also has some queer sapphic stuff going on in it.
I'm pretty sure there's like a kiss, but don't quote me on this, but I thought it was like I'm going to kiss this girl like as kind of like a, ooh, wouldn't it be titillating for this guy that I'm interested in kind of deal?
Perhaps, and I don't know. Perhaps. All I know is that movie got so many Razzies, and Paul Verhoeven became kind of an iconic director in the Razzie scene because I think he was the first one to show up in person to collect his award and be like, yeah, I guess. I don't know if he was like, I deserve that one, or if he was like, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but he did come, so.
The only other thing I know about that movie is that the main character's name is Nomi, which was something that I thought about during our Sense8 episode.
Yet another Wachowski tie-in. Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Intentional callback? Who knows? Probably not.
Probably not. So he's been doing some lesbian stuff. I don't know.
Lesbian stuff. I've been doing some lesbian stuff, if you know what I mean.
Aaron.
I guess, actually, speaking of protests, Benedetta was protested, apparently.
The movie?
Yeah.
It was banned in Singapore.
That checks out.
It was banned in Singapore for being sacrilegious, basically.
Calling this a biopic is potentially like a little bit generous, but I mean, it's like mostly, this is like approximately happened in a way.
It basically kind of happened.
So it's a weird thing to protest. Also, because this happens like in the 1600s, a lot of the records for what happened aren't particularly great. So I guess there is that matter. Who really knows what happened?
It's kind of a mystery, and it's going to be a mystery forever, but that's kind of what makes it interesting to fantasize about it.
I think so.
Like with Lizzie Borden, right? Nobody knows exactly what happened, but it's been so long, and because nobody knows, we're never going to know, but it is just curious. So why not do a little exploratory fun? Why not have some fun? Why not make it campy?
Why not have some fun? Exactly. How'd you feel about the sex scene? I guess there are a couple, but
very Handmaiden.
I felt the same way where I've seen worse sex scenes again.
It started out pretty normal. Started out pretty normal, and then they got a little odd.
Yeah,
not quite to the level of Handmaiden, I should say that, but like
yeah,
but like, you know, male eyes, male gaze.
Male gaze, for sure. I've seen worse. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I also thought it was okay. Yeah, I'm completely with you.
It's actually, like, it's a pretty, like, quiet and static scene for the most part. Like, the camera stays in basically the same spot for the whole time. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of, like, it's kind of like you're just, like, standing next to the bed while these two women have sex.
Yeah.
For both scenes.
Aaron, we've watched a lot of movies with sex scenes over the past couple of years. What do you think has been the worst and what's been the best?
Oh, I don't know. I like to block them from my memory as soon as that's they happen. Fair. Probably the first sex scene in Sense8 where it's
God, I forgot about
it's
this.
It's Nomi and her girlfriend and they're just having normal sex. That was probably the best one.
I think that the Bound sex scene is the Wachowskis. The Bound sex scene is the best one in my personal opinion.
You gotta get a woman to do it.
Portrait is not bad.
Portrait's fine. But the fucking the armpit fingering.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, Carol is never fine. I'll give it up for Carol. Carol's okay. Yeah,
Carol's good.
Benedetta. Benedetta has a massive Wikipedia page. I did not get the chance to read all of it. June did and was sharing some facts from it with me, but I just didn't make it through. You did.
So I did, yeah.
I want some help. Tell me more about what is and isn't real. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. It's time for everybody's favorite game show, What's Real and What's Fake? Yay! I guess, like, as a precursor to this, this is from the Wikipedia page, so, you know, it's from Wikipedia. Just keep that in mind. Like, I tried to read, like, go and find some of the sources just to get the information directly, but a lot of them are, like, on archive sites or just, like, from books and stuff. And, like, things that I either couldn't get to or just would have been too much for me to read before our recording.
Yeah.
And also, some of this was, like, way more fun than what was in the movie, so... Some of it I get like made sense to switch out, and some of it I was like, why didn't you include this part? Because like this was good. But anyway, is the dildo the Virgin Mary dildo? Was that real? What do you think?
That cannot have been real.
You're right. It didn't happen.
Yeah, there's no way that was real.
No, that was just fun movie stuff. It's never mentioned in any records from around that time. But also, it's to leave that little bit of mystery, it's also really unlikely that it would have been recorded because of its blasphemous nature. So it's just really unlikely. But it could have happened. It's really doubtful, though.
Just like, could Lizzie have murdered her parents while nude?
Right, yeah, exactly.
We don't know.
We don't know. It's exactly like that, isn't it, huh?
Yeah, it sure is.
So what about the plague? And I guess specifically Benedetta's prediction of the plague.
I think that Benedetta saw that the plague was happening in Naples on CatholicTwitter.com. She just shared it because she saw the news before everybody else did. Wow. The plague did eventually hit Pescia, correct? It just didn't happen immediately, which is not true to literally what they said at the end of the movie on the title, like title cards at the end. Like literally, if you have the facts, why not just share the fucking facts?
I know. I was confused by that too, because I was trying to find out if it didn't actually hit Pescia or not, and then I saw that it did, and then my girlfriend was like, oh, it didn't, it just got really hit by like a different Black Death earlier on in life. But then I was like, that doesn't actually seem to be true, so I don't know.
Do you think it's the equivalent of saying like, this city never got hit by COVID, in parentheses, that's because it got hit by COVID Delta, like
I don't think so. So I'm not really sure. There's like, if you Google it, like one of the first like hits is like this newsletter PDF that was sent out that was saying that Pescia was hit really hard by the Italian plague. I haven't seen any other sources for it actually. What happened is Benedetta made her plague prediction in 1619, and then the plague didn't hit until 10 years later. So like, whatever happened, like it's not actually really true.
Okay,
it's just kind of true.
But did she predict it though?
She did. I mean, she made a prediction that came true 10 years later. So
yeah,
who knows? Maybe. Anyway, what about her stigmata?
She was for sure faking it.
Did it happen? Did she get one?
She got a fake one.
She got one. Who knows? The portrayal in the movie is basically correct of like what it was like too. She had the wounds on her hands, her feet, and in her side, and they were deep enough that once, like, if you pressed on them and dried it, that it would keep bleeding later. She actually did have a mark on her forehead. It just wasn't bleeding, but it was there.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. And I didn't see any accounts of her like later falling and like cutting herself on glass.
Was it while she was sleeping?
It did happen while she was sleeping. People were saying that her stigmata was actually like devilish, because instead of receiving the stigmata like after like a long bout of prayer or like in solitude, like she got it while she was sleeping. Nothing good can happen in bed, like nothing holy happens in bed, was like this sentiment behind that. I find that ridiculous. I feel like it's just as sus to get it while sleeping as it is to like get it while you've like been by yourself for a couple days.
Yeah.
like, if anything, it's kind of like less sus to get it while sleeping.
I agree with you. I think that it is, because it's like, you can be like, but I was asleep, so how could it have happened?
How could I have done it if I was asleep? There are accounts of like her fellow nuns seeing her picking at her stigmata wounds like with a very large needle in order to widen them. So it does kind of seem like they're fake.
Jeez.
But what about her resurrection?
She taught herself to breathe really slowly so that she could die and come back to life.
You think it did happen?
Yeah.
Well, you're right. It did happen. Oh my okay. God. It just didn't happen like it did in the movie. So after her father's death in 1621, she began having these trances where her guardian angels would come to her and they were telling her that she was going to die soon. And they would also possess her and tell everybody around her that they should be really nice to Benedetta because she was going to die soon. And once she was dead, they would realize her true value, which I love.
That did not happen because she lived to be like 70 something.
No, but then so on March 25th, 1621, apparently the nuns came running to the father confessor and were like, oh my God, she's dead. And the father confessor, Paolo Ricordati, he called to her like in a loud voice to return to life. And she then sprung up and was alive again. And yeah. So she was only apparently dead for like a couple of minutes, I would imagine.
Okay, so she just took a really hard nap.
When she died, she said she saw angels and demons, purgatory and paradise, and she was also reunited with her father and several other deceased people for a period of time. But what about the burning at the stake? Did that happen?
No, I do know that she was not burned at the stake, but I don't know what they were going to do to her instead.
Yeah, the truth is much less interesting. She was not burned at the stake. That was never going to happen, which is too bad because that's like one of the best scenes in the movie. The nuncio of Florence, he did come for actually like a second investigation on her after the first one was like, oh yeah, she's for real. And this investigation happened between 1622 and March of 1623. This also happened like before the plague hit. So that was just movie stuff. But this investigation is the one that got her like her imprisonment. Her imprisonment ended up being she was like confined to the convent for the rest of her life. She wasn't allowed to eat with the other nuns. If she did ever eat with them, she had to sit on the floor.
Yeah, she had to eat on the floor and all the other nuns had to step over. That's what Jude was telling
exactly.
me.
It was a really high punishment because sins of the flesh, like having sex, was like the worst crime that you could commit as a nun, apparently. Though her punishment took a while to like be put in place because they didn't really know what to do. Because usually like crimes of the flesh had to do with a man and it was just like two women. So they're just kind of like confused by that.
I will say, we've never seen lesbians before.
But yeah, that's lesbians, kind of funny. I don't want to get it. Is it a sin? We don't know. Anyway, Benedetta never admitted to any of the sexual acts that she was charged for. She instead claimed that she couldn't remember any of them, actually, because one of her guardian angels, Splenditello, he spoke and acted through her, and he was actually the one who was having sex with Bartolomei, so it wasn't her fault.
So it wasn't gay.
It wasn't gay. He's a dude, angel, and yeah, that's what happened.
Okay, got it.
Another really fun fact is that one of her visions was that Jesus came to her and he was like, I want you to be my bride and we should have a wedding. She went to the father confessor of her convent and was like, can we please have a public wedding? Like, Jesus wants everybody to see me be wed to him. And he actually agreed, which is really unusual. I guess nuns before had asked to have marriages to Jesus, but usually they had been like non-public. Yeah, so there are accounts of her like speaking to Jesus and he gave her a ring that only she could see on her finger.
Oh my God.
And apparently when she was talking to her husband, she had like the most beautiful voice and angels were there, but of course nobody could see it but her. But that's part of the reason why she had such a major following in the town is that, like, a bunch of people came to that wedding and saw her get married to Jesus and were like, oh, yeah, God, like, she's the same. Like,
we loved her wedding to Jesus. What's she going to do next?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, can I share my personal favorite Benedetta fact?
Yeah.
You want to talk about demonic possession. I would love to talk about that in just a moment. But to lead into that, my personal favorite Benedetta fact is that a seeming symptom of her possession by a demon or a spirit was that she was addicted to charcuterie.
And yes.
She would secretly,
I was gonna bring this up.
She would secretly steal salami and cheese and other little meats so that she could eat them in private. And one day, like, another nun saw it and they were like, oh my God, it's just like her dad, because he also was possessed by spirits and he also loved to eat cheeses and meats.
Oh my God. Apparently demonic possessions are hereditary because, both her mom and dad experienced them.
It's funny that that wasn't brought up in the movie at all as a part of the reason why they took her to the convent. Like, we saw the spirits that told us that our daughter belonged here. Here's another thing that we haven't talked about. This wasn't even really a convent. That's another thing that's fake.
Oh, yeah.
This was, like, just a group of, like, wealthy ladies, or, like, a fake organization, basically, that was tangential to the church but wasn't truly a part of it. The normal churches and convents did not have to pay, like, thousands of dollars to become a nun there.
Yeah.
They were truly there to serve folks who were needy and to not turn a fucking profit like this place was. Like, that's hinted at in the movie, but it's not truly explained that they weren't, like, actually full-fledged, considered nuns.
Yeah, and I guess in real life, like, Benedetta's, like, fake saintdom helped them get established as, like, an actual convent.
Yes, later on, but not at the point that she joined.
Yeah, no, not at the point that she joined. At the point where she started getting, like, stigmata and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's partly why, like, I mentioned that, like, the investigation that eventually led to her imprisonment was the second investigation. The first one was done by the father confessor of this convent. Obviously, he had a lot to gain by being like, this is legit shit, because it got them turned into an actual, like, recognized convent.
Yep, exactly. People back then were really just scheming. Scheming and gaming, huh?
But yeah, I want to talk about demonic possession, I suppose. One of the theories is actually that it wasn't that she was seeing Jesus or angels. It wasn't that she was faking it. She was actually possessed. Yo!
Whoa.
I know. I will preface this by saying, like, I actually don't believe in demons and stuff like that, except for, like, for fun.
Yeah. Like, my armchair diagnosis in watching this film was, I wonder if Benedetta has dissociative identity disorder. Huh. Like, I feel like there's a lot of other ways that you could interpret this that are not demonic possession.
Remember, I just imagined sharing a head with Jesus.
Maybe she just had Jesus in her cluster.
Oh, shit! And then you find out her birthday's Christmas. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Whoa.
No, I'm just kidding. Also, I know that it's very unlikely, actually, that Jesus's birthday was on Christmas. Anyway, but yeah, so I think this, it feels weird to call it a theory, but I guess
that's my demonic possession theory.
My demonic possession theory. So I guess at first when she started receiving this vision, she was actually unsure if they were angels or demons herself. And this is also reflected in the movie where she goes to the father confessor and is like, I'm scared when I get these visions. And he was like, you wouldn't be scared if it was Jesus.
Yeah, that's Jesus. True. But she wasn't scared of transgender Jesus.
No, of course not. Her husband.
Yeah, that literally is her husband.
But another factor is that Benedetta actually lacked a lot of the virtues that most saints are supposed to have, including charity, humility, patience, obedience, and modesty. The angels that would come and speak through her, they would talk her up constantly, which does happen in the movie. They're like, Benedetta is awesome. And you should love her. She's the best thing that's ever happened to you. And Jesus loves her too, more than anybody else.
Yeah, Benedetta is so cool, you guys. That's not me speaking. That's the angel.
Another big factor is the fact that the vision of Jesus that she got, like, wanted a public marriage. usually if somebody did receive that vision, it would always like be a very private affair.
This is between me and Jesus.
This is just between me and Jesus. But I don't know, demons apparently are known to be like, I don't know, more proud or whatever, and they'd want to have their marriage be seen. It's also said that the angels that she named, they all had like demonic type names, which I think is fun.
Splendatello.
So there's the one I mentioned before, Splendatello. I should like put these in chat so you can help me pronounce them.
Okay, so there's Splendatello, Raticello.
Yeah.
Virtudiello.
I think so.
And Tesserello Fiorito.
I know. Mr. Frito himself. But I just, oh my god, the names are so good. The fact that it's like splendid virtue, like radiant treasure. The other thing to be like demon possession is that the fact that the stigmata appeared while she was in bed, still to me very much less suspicious than like some supposed saint who like went away for 2 weeks and then came back with all these like marks on his hand, like and then the other thing that I mentioned before, that both her mom and dad had been possessed, and like I don't know, the church was saying that like the demonic possession can be hereditary, which is so weird. But the final thing that we mentioned before was that in one of her visions, Jesus came to her and said that to maintain her physical purity, that she should be vegan and only drink water, no milk products or meat. But she loved to sneak salami and mortadella cheese.
She just couldn't help it. Listen, we all love a good charcuterie.
There are a couple other fun things that don't fall into that category, but are just like from the testimony of nuns.
She had like a magical bird is one thing.
Oh.
Did you hear about that?
I didn't. Now I don't remember. I was going to talk about, there was a time where the nuns saw her like making a little golden star and then affixing it to her forehead with red wax. And then she came out and was like, Jesus kissed my forehead and left this star here. Seems a little short-sighted. Oh,
that's so funny.
Another one was like her angels who spoke through her would constantly talk about self-flagellation and its importance and how people should do it. But Benedetta actually never self-flagellated and even would put like blood from her stigmata wounds on her whip in order to like make it look like she had self-flagellated, but she actually hadn't.
Jude was telling me that Benedetta had like a little magical bird that she taught to sing a specific tune, and it followed her everywhere that she went, and it sang a little tune, and then one day the bird just like disappeared and nobody ever saw it again. And
wait, like a real bird?
Yeah, and they were saying that like apparently this is like an iconic thing in history to like write about, is like when you don't know what to say about somebody but you're trying to make them seem like magical, splendid, saint-like, you just give them a fancy little bird that like sings to them.
Yeah, that checks out.
While we've been recording this, I've been meditating on something. Can I shoot an idea past you? And can talk about it? I think that if Benedetta was born in this day and age, she would have grown up to become Tana Mojo.
You know?
I think she would have had TanaCon.
She would have had fucking BenedettaCon.
I think that literally would have been her future. It's like, there's something about you saying that she had her public marriage to Jesus that made me think about Tana Mojo's marriage to Jake Paul. That was like completely fake and like just for the press and for the fun of it. Everything to do with TanaCon, like every single thing. I feel like this is just like what her path would have been if she was born in this day and age. I think that Tana Mojo today is the closest thing we have to Benedetta.
I feel it. I mean, it does, like, a lot of this does scream like YouTube influencer, like, or just YouTuber, like all the YouTubers, that one guy who is like, I bought black market like drugs online and now I'm gonna take them at 3 a.m. or like weird pranks with your girlfriend kind of stuff.
Man, talk about being born in the wrong era, right? Benedetta would excel right now if only she was here.
It does really seem like she was faking. She was also caught like putting blood on a Virgin Mary statue and then telling everybody that it bled when in honor of her sanctity, but actually she just put the blood on it. Yeah. So it really does seem like she's faking, but like this would make for like good drama content on YouTube.
It would.
And she could eat as much cheese as she'd like. She could have all the charcuterie in the world.
She could. She could even go the like Trisha Paytas route of being vegan, but not like being vegan.
Okay. Oh, I will. Okay. I forgot what it was that you mentioned before that made me think of Trisha Paytas. Oh my God. I wish I could remember.
Was it something about Benedetta?
It was something about Benedetta. I don't know. But yeah.
Trisha Paytas is another good person to bring up though of like.
Yeah.
Yeah, very similar vibe.
Very similar vibe, I would say.
I shit you not, Trisha Paytas would be like, I saw the transgender Jesus, and yeah. He gave me stigmata, and I'm a Catholic now.
They would 100% absolutely do that. I love it. Another fun thing that Benedetta did was, of course, she had her invisible ring from Jesus, but people were questioning that, saying that, like, if the marriage was real, like, a real ring would have appeared. So eventually she apparently like did show up with like this like golden pointy ring that that then she painted red, and then they found like what she had painted it with. I don't know. That also seemed like questionable.
Benedetta was a real one.
She's a real one. Oh fuck. God, we spent all this time talking about fucking Benedetta. We haven't talked about Bartolomea.
Yeah.
Bartolomea.
I know. Bartolomea, interesting character. But in real life, like, she was not this developed documentation.
Like, very little is known about her.
She probably would have wanted it that way.
I think so. At first... When I first read the Wikipedia, I was just kind of shifting through it just to read as much as I could, as quickly as I could. At first, it kind of seemed like potentially it was a little bit non-consensual what happened between her, mm-hmm. just by the way that it was described. But actually, I don't really know that to be true. But the way that she described it was that Benedetta would go to her bedchamber and like get nude and then call for Bartolomea and then like grab her and then like... kiss her like a man would kiss her, and they would rub up on each other and do some frottage. And this went on for about like 2 years or so. So I'm not, again, wasn't really well recorded, and mm-hmm. obviously that seems a little bit like non-consensual the way that it's been described, but I'm sure on record she had to make it seem that way, or she would have gotten like a similar punishment to Benedetta.
Exactly. And also, like, even if she wouldn't have had the similar punishment, like, she just wouldn't have been able to talk about it because of the, like, cultural shame of all of it anyway. Yeah. So, like...
Right. So, I don't know. Who knows?
Mystery. We don't know that much.
Besides, she was just having sex with Splenditello. But the other thing that I wish they had included in the movie is that supposedly Splenditello had, like, a 2-foot wand. And on one side was, like, a bunch of flowers. And on the other side was a bunch of thorns. And if Benedetta did something good, he would, like, touch her with the flowers. And if she did something bad, he would touch her with the thorns. She knew that having lesbian sex was good because she got touched with the point of flowers when she did it. But also, would have that have been great to see in the movie, like this fucking angel with this weird wand?
I know. I don't think they had the CG budget for it.
Probably
they spent
not.
All of their CG budget on the transgender Jesus scene, and that was all they could afford.
Well spent.
And that scene of Jesus decapitating that guy.
Yeah.
Man, what a fun movie.
It's a fun movie.
I had fun with it. It was just as campy as I wanted it to be. Sammy, who I watched it with, shared that she did not think that there was quite enough sex scenes. And oh, yeah. I think that that's a fair critique. They could have theoretically put more in.
There's like the initial sex scene, and then there's the one with the Virgin Mary dildo. And then there's another one where Benedetta just like masturbating and like asks Bartolome to like show her boobs.
Yeah.
This is pretty good.
Do I feel like they could have gone a little bit harder on everything to make it even campier? Yes. Could I, in good conscience, like recommend this movie? Debatably. Was it a good movie? Debatable. Am I glad I watched it? I don't really know. But But it, I can say that I took something away from it. I learned something new, and it was fun. So
it was fun.
Yeah, that's my. I think that's my final opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think it. I like Total Recall is actually probably more of a campy movie than this was.
Yeah,
it's disappointing in that way.
Agreed. But I mean, put. But can we get Benedetta reimagined, but like as a sci-fi in like movie in space?
That would be fun.
With Arnold. Wow. He can be the priest.
Sure. Oh my god. Yeah, I wish that like after transgender Jesus shows up, that's the last vision that she has, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I could have had more.
I know. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish it went further, but I liked it for what it was too.
I enjoyed it. If you haven't seen it and you're in for a fun, silly, goofy one with some gore, some sex, some just weird stuff, why not? Why not watch it?
The sexual torture scene is horrible, though.
That's really bad. Yeah, I will say. That one's
really, really bad.
Serious content warning
yeah.
for that one, yeah.
Like, that one does, that does not fuck around.
I don't know. That one's bad. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it for thoughts.
Yeah, that's all we got. You want to take us out?
Sure. Thank you so much for listening. If you feel like it, you can follow us on Twitter at GazeGaze, and there you can tweet with us. And also, if you like this podcast, please tell your friends about it. We'd really appreciate that. If you want to get in contact, you can also email us at aaron@gazegaze.com to send us thoughts, ideas, and recommendations. Thanks so much for Kate and Leslie of Neil and Nude for allowing us to use their songs Look in Love and You Pretty Thing for our intro and our outro music. You can and should buy their album at neonandnude.bandcamp.com, but you can also stream it on Spotify. And next week, we're going to be doing the YouTube series Her Story.
With a guest host, Sammy.
Guest host, Sammy. I'm so excited.
I know, me too.
Yeah, so if you have your story. If you have her story thoughts, please send them in via Twitter or email.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but it's like a 6-part, about 60-minute YouTube series. Mm-hmm. Not 60 minutes per part, but like 60 minutes like in total. It looks honestly really good, and there was quite a lot of like good press about it as well, so I'm very interested to watch it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like it's gonna be good. So, and also it's free obviously because it's on YouTube. Yeah. So you should go give it a watch yeah. along with us, tell us your thoughts. Yeah.
But until then, I'm Aaron,
and I'm Aaron, and we're gay.
Woo! And that's all.
Gonna go pray.
Oh, really? In private, I hope? Don't pray in bed. Nothing good ever happens there.
Bye.
Bye.